I was in my office this morning, and was talking to Wyatt, and then suddenly, Wyatt looks at me and he says, "What is the title of your sermon?" And I said, "Like a Good Friend." And Jonathan was walking from the hallway into my office, and without missing a bit, he said, "State Farm is there." When I emailed Kelly the title of my sermon, without missing a bit, Kelly right away, she replied, "State Farm is there." It ruined my message now. You're never going to forget this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Actually, didn't have time to change the title, so let's see what we make out of this. When I'm studying scriptures, I'm always confronted with the biblical principles that scriptures challenges us with. It's not easy because we live in a total different world than the world of scriptures. Still, scriptures continue to be the backbone of our society, the Christian culture, and over and over again, we are always confronted with what is right. How should we change? How far can we change? And what should we be doing when living in a 21st century, in a world like we live today? One of the principles that I love about scriptures is what the Bible says about the true church of God. And I've been wrestling with this for a long while, and this is what I found. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46, we are challenged to understand what it means to be a Christian and what does it mean to be a part of the true church of Jesus Christ on this earth. And you know this story very well. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom of God that is prepared for you since the creation of the world." How amazing that when we come to Christ and ask Him, "How can I inherit your kingdom?" This is what Jesus responds. Jesus says, "Because I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." Jesus said, "I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a foreigner, a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and in a hospital bed, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you also loved me and visited me." And then, of course, the disciples asked Jesus, "When did we do all those things to you, Jesus?" Now, I want you to think about it. When Jesus Christ is dying on the cross, was He naked? When Christ Jesus was dying on that tree, on that cross, was He hungry? Was He thirsty? Was He a stranger among the people He lived among? And then He ends this story by saying in Matthew 25, 40, "The king will reply in that day, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" So my question to you is, do you want to inherit the kingdom of God? And if your answer is yes, there's good news for you. The formula for salvation, according to Matthew chapter 25, is what you do with your loved ones, those who has less than what you have. Like a good neighbor, maybe a Christian is there. Like a good neighbor, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. Like a good neighbor, when I was thirsty, you gave me clean water to drink. Like a good neighbor, you gave me water. You welcomed me when I was a stranger. Like a good neighbor, you gave me clothing when I was naked. Like a good neighbor, you took the time to visit me when I was in a hospital bed. Like a good neighbor, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. An amazing biblical principle that teaches us that if you wanted to inherit the kingdom of God, you are not far from it. There is hope for all of us. And this is the good news of the teachings of Jesus Christ. There's another biblical principle that I want to share with you. And don't think that by sharing this, I mastered these principles. The reason I share these principles with you is because I wrestle with them myself. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verse 25 to 37, this is how the account comes for this story. On one occasion, an expert in the law, he stood up to test Jesus, and I will repeat, he stood up for the purpose of testing Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So my question to you today, my brothers and sisters, is if you want to inherit eternal life today, there is a teaching, a biblical principle here today that will help you to have a better vision about this. How many times I have met with people that come to me and say, "I needed to study the Bible with you because the Bible is too complicated." And indeed, it can be very difficult at times. But I believe that if you live by the principles of Matthew 25, and if you live by the principles of this passage in Luke, I believe you're going to be just fine. And these are the words of Jesus. These are not the words of Gilbert. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And look at the answer of Jesus when Jesus says, "What is then written in the law?" He replied, "How do you read it?" And the answer was, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And here comes Jesus answering now this young man's question. "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do these things and you will live." So the problem that we have with this passage is, where is the list of the Ten Commandments? But you have to understand that this man comes to Jesus to test him. And instead of answering the question, Jesus just answers with another question. What does the law say? And the answer of this young man is, love God, love your neighbor. And without disagreeing with Jesus, with him, Jesus says, "Do this then, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said to him, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." And I want to stop there for a second. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you read the scriptures, if you read the Gospel of Luke very carefully, who is Jesus probably talking about here? Himself. How many times has probably Jesus gone down that road himself? A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, and he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine on him. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, and look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse for you any extra expenses you may have. So Jesus pauses and looks at this young man and says, which of these three men you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus then tells him, go and do likewise. How does this story start? How do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? And the answer that Jesus is preparing from beginning to end is, do likewise when you find someone in need. What must you do to inherit eternal life? And as a good Seventh-day Adventist, I was puzzled with the question, what is it written in the law? And just before we go there and talk about love God and love your neighbor as yourself, look at these passages from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Look at this. So then, the law is, according to Paul, the law of God is holy, and the commandment of God is holy, righteous, and good. But for this young man, and in his conversation with Jesus, the answer was not the totality of the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments, or the totality of the 600 plus laws that the Jewish people live by. He summarized and said, love your God, love your neighbor as yourself. When you do in-depth studies of religion, especially on the New Testament and the trends of the New Testament, you will easily find out that we see Moses offering the Ten Commandments, the law of God, that we believe it was written by the own finger of God. When you see the teachings of Jesus, it is really hard to miss that Jesus summarizes those Ten Commandments in 2 laws, one that symbolizes the first 4 commandments of God, and the second half that summarizes laws 5 to 10, love God, love your neighbor. Here you see Jesus Christ now reinterpreting and bringing a spin into the law of Moses and saying, you, all of those are good, even as Paul said, the law is perfect, it's holy. But I summarize it to now the love to God and the love for your neighbor. Look what John the apostle has to say about the law of God. He says, a new command I give you. Now it's the apostle John now sharing with you what he thinks is important. And he says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. This is John now. Look what Paul has to say about this. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one commandment. This is Paul. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is amazing. This is a progression that we see in the New Testament of teaching people what is important about the law of God. And you can clearly say, even though The Ten Commandments are important. The Mosaic laws are important. You can clearly see that Jesus, when portrayed in the Gospel of Matthew as a scribe, the one who, a teacher, the one who reinterpret the readings and the laws, he's saying now that two of these commandments are extremely important. And now even Paul going to the point of saying, love others like Jesus, like God loved yourself. The day you understand that, you will be then fulfilling the entire law of God. Do you want to inherit the eternal life? Love your neighbor. But there is only one problem. What if I don't like my neighbor? Like a good neighbor. Stay over there. Another problem that we have is this. What if I do not like myself? How can I love someone as myself if I do not love and if I do not respect myself? You will only share with other people what comes out of the abundance of your heart. So if you do not love yourself, you're not going to be able to share much. And this biblical principle now challenges us that if you become as well as the good Samaritan, there is good news for you. You also may inherit the kingdom of God. But the problem that we have is that the Jews and the Samaritans, they were not very friendly to each other. Any Jew will say that a Samaritan is good as a half-dead man. So now you see the story of a man going from Jericho to Jerusalem or vice versa, going for very dangerous places where if you see a man falling on the floor, it might be a trap that as you try to help him, like the priest, like the Levite, you could put yourself in big trouble, and you could also be mugged yourself. You could be in big trouble yourself. But a Samaritan would go out of his way to help probably what it was, a Jewish man. Do likewise. Look at this quote from the book Luke for Everyone, page 127. It says, for him, this lawyer, God is the God of Israel, and neighbors are Jewish neighbors. For Jesus and for Luke, who highlights this theme, Israel's God is the God of grace for the whole world, and a neighbor is anybody in need. Jesus' telling question at the end isn't asking who the Samaritan regarded as his neighbor. He asked instead who turned out to be the neighbor of the half-dead Jew lying in the road. Underneath the apparently straightforward and moral lesson, we find a much sterner challenge, exactly fitting in with the emphasis of Luke's story so far. Can you recognize the hated Samaritan as your own neighbor? If you think about who a Samaritan would represent today, in our society, what a Samaritan would represent to you, the enemy at work, the enemy of your religion, the enemy of your beliefs. In talking to a friend, he said, the problem with this passage is that we cannot choose who our neighbors are. That's the biggest problem that we have. We just do have neighbors. Whether we like them or not, they are there. Whether we agree with them and what they do in their lives or how they conduct their lives, they are there. And the challenge for us as Christians is love your neighbor. I love this picture at the outskirts of Loma Linda Medical Center. How interesting that this monument will be placed there, these statues will be placed there, with the story of the Good Samaritan. If you think about the neighborhoods and all the many difficulties that those communities around the hospital and everything that they go through. Some people say that 90% of the population that come through the doors of the medical center every day are people that live in that area and people that have so many needs. And like a good neighbor, this is what they see coming through our campus there. The Good Samaritan taking the time to bring healing, taking the time to put oil, taking the time to put wine in somebody's scars, in somebody's problems. And this is what the hospital does for us. I would like today to share with a story that maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to take a shot at it anyway. Maybe I'll block my email for the beginning of the first 2 or 3 days, and I'll answer my email by the end of the week. I was in shock, in awe, with a story that I saw on the news in Brazil this past week. There's a young man, he's a priest of the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church. His name is Priest Fabio de Mello. He's a singer, a very famous young man that happens to be a priest in a church of the Roman Catholic Church. And because he's a singer and he's on television all the time, he gets invited to go everywhere. So he was invited to go to a party of a very, very famous singer in Brazil, Alcione. And as he goes to this party, and he says on his article, "I was only there for an hour and a half," if you hear his misery. "I was only there for about an hour." He said that as he was there at this party, people from everywhere, they were coming and asking him, "Can I take a picture with you?" And he could not take away his eyes from this person. And he started thinking, what in the world if this transgender, this person comes to me, a priest, and asks me, "Can I take a picture with you?" He was terrified. And sure enough, as he turns from one side to another, take pictures and meet people and signs autographs and everything, when he turns around, this transgender is already standing right beside him and interacts with him by asking this question, "Padre Mello, do you take pictures with sinners?" And right away he said, "Of course." He took a few pictures, talked to this person for a few minutes, was still concerned about what was going to show up on Facebook later on. He was still concerned about what people was going to say about him, because a man of God, a priest of the Roman Catholic Church, now appearing in a party, in a picture with somebody with a dubious reputation. You know, those things are really hard. This weekend, my wife and I, we went to a friend's wedding. My best friend's mom was getting married, and they had a beautiful wedding, amazing food. And when they start dancing, I look at my wife and I said, maybe it's time for me to leave. And she said, "He's your friend. You need to stay and help move some chairs around and some tables." I said, "Oh, yeah, I have to stay." Now everybody's dancing, and the pastor is sitting on the corner, moving his feet and going like this. Maybe I wanted to. Now my kids are dancing, having a wonderful time. My best friend is dancing with his mom. And everybody's having a wonderful time. And one of our friends, somebody that I actually met at the party, one of our friends, she looked at me and she said, "Come, Pastor Gilbert, let's dance." And I, "Oh, no, I'm fine, thank you. I don't dance." And I really don't. Imagine how difficult it is if somebody comes and posts a picture of Pastor Gilbert at a wedding, at his best friend's wedding, just dancing and losing it on the floor there. This man, he was really concerned about his Facebook social media reputation. After that, they moved away, and he finally talked to that lady, Alcione, that is a superstar in Brazil, a singer, known all around our country. He comes to her, and they're having a good time. He's ready to leave. He was only going to stay for an hour or so. And the conversation comes up that she saw him meeting with this person. And then Alcyone, this famous singer, looks at him and she says, let me tell you about this person. This person, she brings every single homeless in our neighborhood into her house and bathe them. She brings every single person that does not have a place to live, does not have food to eat, or does need a glass of water, and she is the one who brings them in this neighborhood and feeds them. And when one of them, they are sick and they have no money to buy medicine, or they need to go to the hospital, this is the very first person who will go and call friends and fundraise some money in order for people to get the medication that they need. And I know what's going to be my first email I'm going to get this week. Pastor Gilbert endorses this kind of lifestyle. How dare you, Pastor Gilbert? Padre Fabio de Mello, when he heard this story, he said, I am so ashamed of myself, because if I could, I would have ignored her and I would never take a picture with someone like that so the picture will show up on my Facebook page later on. So my question to you, of course, after studying this story is, who is your neighbor? Like a good neighbor, a good Samaritan is there. But who is your neighbor? Who is the people or the person that you would avoid because of whatever reason that you disagree with whatever it is of how he or she lives their lives? The Bible says that the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him, and Jesus told him, go and do likewise. And today I would like to finish with this. Would you like to inherit the kingdom of God? Go take care of the poor, the one who is hungry. Go take care of those who are thirsty and in prison. Go take care of those who are naked, and go take care of those who are strangers coming into your house. If you want to inherit eternal life, like a good neighbor, do likewise. That's the answer of Jesus. So my prayer to you today, as you continue to study the Bible, as you continue to study the Scriptures, I pray that you will find these stories challenging to you, that you will stand up and take action, and you will do all of these things for all of these little ones. Because here is the promise, every time you do one of these things to any of these little ones, you are doing it for Jesus Christ Himself. So may the Lord bless you, and may you, like a good neighbor, do likewise. Amen.